For sure she wasn't as stupid as the couple of strippers he knew. So, a kind of smart chick with a good body. How, he wondered, does a girl like her end up in Vegas? Paris asked. How does a girl like you end up in Vegas?
That's your line?
Willia's hair stroking didn't stop. Confident. Didn't know I needed one. I'm already in the door.
You're in the door, but you're not in here.
Her hand disappeared down where her thighs met. At a distance, Paris heard, at least he thought he heard, the squish of moistness. No, he wasn't in there yet. His confidence went down. His anticipation rose. Willia sensed it. Willia dug it. Willia smiled. There was nothing so fine, as much as she wanted to get off herself, as wielding the weapon of sex against a man. She said,
What do you want to know for? 10 minutes after it's over, you won't blow pocket change to send me a postcard.
What makes you so sure? As quick as it came, Willia's smile went away.
Because a girl like me ended up in a place like this.
Willia stopped brushing her hair. She turned, looked in Paris's direction. Not at him, just in his direction. Her story began.
It seemed like, Willia said, a good idea at the time, Vegas. I used to dance back in Indianapolis. One day these guys from a casino came through looking for new talent. I figured, I'm not beautiful enough to be a New York model. Can't act good enough to be a Hollywood star. But I've got enough to be a Vegas showgirl. Well, I did after the boob job anyway.
Looks good.
Thanks. So what the hell, right? I was 17. I dropped out of school and hit the strip.
Your parents freak?
I promised them I'd make a little money then finish school.
Once again, Willia's brush went to her head and made the long sweep down her hair. It was a program movement.
I lied.
Paris tried to do some cheerleading, partly to make Willia feel better, mostly to keep the possibility of sex alive.
Well, so what if you never finished school? You came to Vegas? You're a dancer? It's like a dream come true.
Paris finally got Willia's eye, but the look that came with it was, You dipshit.
I never dreamed about being a showgirl. This is just where I ended up. It was fun at first, you know. Dance, hang out, be one of the girls. There's always next year to do something else. Always next year to get your life together. But every year the new girls come in a year younger, a year prettier, a year better. Then one day, you wake up, and they're not just a couple of years younger, it's 5 and 8, and you're not dancing to dance anymore. You're dancing to keep up. You're dancing to pay the bills. You're dancing to stay alive. So here I am, still in Vegas. Still a showgirl. Still alive. Barely.
A vision of failure. A vision Paris was very downright friendly with, got up in his face.
You wanted to know, Willia said.
Paris sort of nodded. A very depressing moment took its time in passing. In an enough about that fashion, very much as if the previous conversation belonged to two other people, Willia got up from the bed. She crossed to Paris, straddled him in the chair. Paris's anticipation rose a little more, along with the meat between his legs. In conjunction, Willia's smile found its way back.
I like black guys. You think it's weird I like black guys?
Right now, I think I really don't care.
Just something about black guys.
Paris's hands fondled their way down Willia's back, over her lats. No fat there, just the curve of pure muscle. Dancers.
You got some kind of slave plantation wife freak? No, I don't think it's that deep. I think it's, Willia straightened, lost her breath. Paris's fingers had slipped over her ass. Bingo. It's more like a... She labored to continue. A good sex freak. She put her lips to his ear. Words got carried on hot breath. If I'm not careful, I think I could just about fall for a black guy. Pulling back, looking Paris in the eyes, prolonging the tease. You got somebody to love? Not really. Not really yes or not really no. Well, Nina. Did he love Nina? Was this cheating on her? Did her and him have a relationship to cheat on? He had picked her up, or the other way around, and he dug her, and she dug him, except that he was costing her money. But he was going to cut her in on his score. And there was that talk about going away together. And Paris admitted, too. Really, he had. But, Willia, this wasn't cheating, was it? Willia mooted the whole issue. Doesn't matter. I don't believe in love. I don't believe in love, she stated again. Paris waited for more. No more came, so he asked. What do you believe in? Lust and fear. I think people get together with someone because they lust after them. I think people stay together because they're afraid of being alone. That the only reason you're with me? You don't want to be alone? If I said yes, would it bother you? Like I told you, right now, I really don't care. Paris went back to work on Willia's ass. Willia went to work on Paris's fly. Gail liked to walk home at night. After spending her days locked up in a casino, like a lab rat doing experiments on secondhand smoke, the cooled-up desert air felt good to her lungs. Toward the back of the plaza was the employees' entrance. Employees of the plaza weren't supposed to use the front of the building. Didn't look professional. Wasn't good for them to mingle near the marks off the street. Gail didn't care. It was quicker to head out the front than it was to make her way around from the back of the building. Too bad for the management if they didn't go for that. Gail was getting to the point in her life where she was her own boss. Brunson, who'd gotten hep to Gail's leaving out the front ways, hung near the main doors doing double duty, waiting for the girl and waiting, with $5,000 in pocket, for Paris, who, knowing Paris, might or might not return for the money. Where he'd spiked himself gave Brunson a ringside seat for peeping a rainbow of degenerates, bankrupt in every sense of the word, flow into the plaza, then shortly flow out again, slightly more bankrupt than previously. Every once in a while, some well-dressed cat would make his way into the casino. Brunson figured them to be strip rollers who, curious, were coming around to see how the other half lost their money, or heading for the video poker at the bar to pick up a prosty who serviced at downtown prices. From in the casino came Gail, who passed Brunson with all the indifference she could subconsciously possess. Brunson took her by the arm to slow her down and got a surprise from the amount of muscle the sleeve of her shirt hid. Fast as he could, Brunson let her go. Something about Gail told him that she was the kind of woman who wasn't afraid to use the gifts God had given her. Arm muscle, no exception. You want something? Gail said more than asked, and said in a way that was more bored than solicitous. Brunson hoped her boredom was just symptomatic of the malaise that came gratis with 8 hours' labor, and not an instant assessment of him. I'm Brunson, he introduced himself. Gail responded to that, no way in particular.
You're new here.
Gail's lack of responsiveness only increased.
I figured, you being new, you might not know too many people, and maybe I could show you things.
Show me things, Gail repeated, her features arranging themselves into a very thoughtful grimace. She nodded a couple of times, took a beat, like she was putting together ideas, then...
I don't really want to have a baby,
Gail said, and Brunson flinched at, getting a little more information from her than he'd been expecting. She went on.
I don't really want to have a baby.
And when a woman doesn't want to have a baby, then, other than rotating her tires or moving furniture, a man doesn't really figure into things. Brunson thought up an argument for that quick style.
You don't want to have a baby, but that don't mean you can't have fun.
Fun like bowling?
Fun like fucking.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about being a woman is you don't need a man to have a good time.
What? You a dyke? That ain't the word on the street, but you gone dyke?
Gone dyke? That would imply Gail didn't dig fucking men. She dug fucking men, and had the men in her past to prove it. There was John, who, after 8 months of spending up her money and bedding down other women, disappeared, never to be seen or heard from again. Not that she was busting out in tears and torch songs over it. And there was the one whose name she couldn't even recall, who talked tough and acted cool, but who possessed all the resilience of damp tissue. Good riddance to him, too. And now there was this guy coming around, Brunson, trying to get Gail to buy what he was selling. From all she could tell, besides his barely passable looks and his, I don't know you, but you owe me sex attitude, he didn't even have what little her last two men had to offer. So no, it wasn't that Gail didn't dig fucking. It was just good and hard to find a man she dug worth fucking. And knowing that she didn't really care if she found one or not, that made for a real liberating feeling. In answer to Brunson's question,
No, I haven't gone dyke. I've just gotten free.
Brunson saw how things were. There might have been a time when he could have sweet-talked his way into the promised land nestled between Gail's legs, but that time had long passed. Gail didn't need anybody's shit. Gail didn't take anybody's shit. She moved on from Brunson. Gail headed out the door and into Las Vegas. In a big Vegas Strip theme hotel on the 12th floor down the hall from the elevator was room 12-101, a mini-suite. The door was locked, and on the handle was a Do Not Disturb sign. In the mini-suite on the bed, Jay sat with a phone in one hand and the complete Las Vegas business white and yellow pages in the other. On the floor was Marcus, still dead, and moment by moment becoming deader. Jay dialed the phone. He spent the last 3 years as an assistant to one nameless, faceless, soulless, don't know how to talk except for yelling agent or another. And in 3 years, a guy can rack up a lot of dialing. A whole lot of dialing. Never before had he dialed with so much intent. The phone rang. It rang.
Las Vegas Lodge, the voice on the other end answered.
Jay asked for...
Paris Scott's room?
A short delay.
I'm sorry there's no Paris Scott registered here.
Jay hung up.
Shit.
Still, it was a brilliant little plan. Call all the motels, the little dives where a guy, where a pathetic troll like Paris was bound to crawl into. Call them, ask for him, until Jay found the worm he was looking for. Brilliant. No one else would ever think of a plan so beautifully simplistic. No one who didn't have the icy, shrewd heart of a killer.
Jay laughed at his brilliance. Laughed. Cried. Then laughed again. A knock at the door.
Housekeeping,
someone said.
No,
Jay said back. His index finger drew across the next number to dial. The person outside the door knocked again. Again the person said,
Housekeeping. I don't need any goddamn housekeeping, thank you very much.
Jay screamed at her.
Hijo de tu puta madre,
the maid screamed back. Jay dialed. The phone rang. Rang. The lucky six, Mo.
Para Scott's room?
Scott. I don't think there's any... Jay hung up. At the phone as he dialed the next number.
You're dead, you little bastard. I'm gonna find you. And when I do, you're dead. Dead.
So brilliant. He laughed some more. He laughed some more. He cried again. Then laughed some more. Dusk had become night, but other than that, not much had changed in Nina and Paris's room at the Shady Tree Inn. Bryce was in her chair, flipping through a Victoria's Secret catalog. Nina was on the bed, scared to death that the next moment might be her last moment, and if not the next, then the one right after it. Bryce put the magazine aside, checked her watch, saw that it was late and getting later.
I don't know. Doesn't look too good.
Her head shook. Bryce sounded disappointed, like she was talking about a guest of honor tardy for dinner.
He said...
It took Nina two tries just to get that out.
He promised. A guy making an empty promise. There's something new. What did he tell you?
Derisive.
He loves you. He needs you. He'll take you with him wherever he goes. Yeah. A guy like that needs to get shot.
Bryce's ridicule, on top of the intense terror Nina was sinking under, made her want to cry, but she wouldn't cry. Nina knew that's what this woman got off on. Humiliation. Maybe she was already as good as dead, but Nina wasn't going to give her any pleasure about it. She wasn't going to cry. Her eyes teared, her nose ran, but she wasn't going to cry. Outside the door, a drunk wailed,
Spencer! Spencer!
Bryce looked toward the sound. Nina, as she had been doing for the last hour whenever Bryce looked away, millimeter by millimeter, micro-moved her hand toward her towel and the knife that lay hidden in it. Bryce looked back to Nina.
It's kind of tough. Which way do you pull? If this guy doesn't come back for you, that makes him a lying sack of shit. If he does come back, then he cares about you. But I gotta kill him. Sometimes you just can't win.
You don't have to kill him.
For Nina, keeping her voice steady was like riding a bull.
He didn't do anything. Stealing drugs ain't much, but it's something.
Utter surprise splashed over Nina's face.
Oh, he didn't tell you about that. I guess he is a lying sack of shit.
Outside again.
I'm sorry, Spencer. Just talk to me, baby.
And again Bryce looked. And again Nina moved her hand.
Men, Bryce said, sister to sister. They're nothing but a bunch of walking, talking assholes. Every one of them. My last man, he was a loser, like your guy. When we first hooked up, we didn't have nothing. Not a thing. Just a fast car and a couple of guns. But when you're young and in love, that's all you need. Ned was never much into the life, not at first. I did all the heavy lifting. And I did it happy. There was nothing I wouldn't do for my man. Nothing.
Something slowly, little by little, crept into Bryce's voice.
same as an animal afraid to venture into a dark place. It was just about the last thing anyone who had ever met Bryce, especially those whose acquaintanceship with her had concluded in death, would expect to hear from the girl. It was something that sounded very much like pure, genuine heartache.
I took care of him. I supported him.
Now it was Bryce who had to fight to keep her voice from shattering.
Then he runs off with that twist, Jude. She shows up smiling her smile, wiggling her ass, and Ned goes love simple. You know what he told me when he skipped with her? He told me I was losing it, that I was going mad dog, because I gave the bitch a bullet in the leg as a going away present. She shouldn't have been fucking with my man. She's lucky I didn't blow her goddamn.
Bryce felt the weight of the gun in her lap, the weight of body piled on top of dead body smothering her.
I didn't used to be like this. I didn't used to be nothing but a... Now look at me. I'm not even... I'm not... human.
Nina finished for her. Nina took a chance saying what she said, but Bryce didn't receive it badly. Nina spoke nothing but the truth.
I was until she... The bitch. She's the crazy one. I mean, okay, I've got my problems, but that girl's messed up. Hope she kills him.
The declaration came off as the weak rage of a woman scorned, but still in love. Bryce said it again and tried to make it stick.
Hope she kills him dead.
It sounded as feeble as the first time. Fragile, vulnerable to her own emotion, Nina saw one last chance to talk Bryce out of things.
Couldn't you just let him go?
I've tried to forget about Ned. I can't.
No, Paris. What if he just gave the drugs back? What if...
Oh, I'll get the drugs back. That's not the issue. The issue is pain and retribution. Actually, damn the retribution. The issue is pain. Bryce was forgetting the past and returning to her old, irrationally combustible self.
I'm going to hurt the guy like he doesn't know hurt. I'm going to hurt him. I'm going to hurt him, then I'm going to kill him.
The drunk outside.
Spencer! I still love you, Spencer!
Would you shut up, you freak?
Bryce screamed at the door, at the drunk.
She doesn't need you!
Bryce turned back to Nina. She came throat to blade with Nina's speed knife.
That was quick, Bryce admired.
Nina didn't respond with anything more than a narrow stare. She was ready to kill, but hesitating just beyond the unpleasant chore.
Well, see, now you've got a problem.
Bryce spoke with the countrified drawl of an antebellum lawyer, pointing things out to some slick carpetbagger.
Stab me in the throat? It'll take me about 20 minutes to bleed to death.
20 minutes. Time to put a bullet in your little bitch head. Don't much care for that option, but I think I can handle it. I go, we go, you know? Nina two-hand gripped her knife, like she was serious about tracking the girl.
You want to kill me quick, you've got to stab me in the heart. Shut that sucker down. Go on. Put the knife in my pumper.
Even with two hands, Nina all of a sudden couldn't keep the knife from quivering.
Well, go on. You want to kill me, don't you? Put the knife over my heart.
Nina's quivering turned to shaking.
Let me help you out.
Her hand to Nina's, Bryce lowered the blade to the nipple of her left breast.
There you go. That's better. Except...
A drawback became, or at least she made a big show of it becoming, apparent to Bryce.
You'll probably snap that little poker off on my ribs.
Yeah, it's a fact.
God built these bodies forward tough. You know what? You know what you want to do?
Again, Bryce took Nina's hands and moved the knife. This time, the tip of the blade came to rest just below Bryce's sternum. Nina didn't try to stop her redirecting. Nina was in the middle of losing it.
Right up under the breastbone. That's the ticket.
Bryce sounded genuinely happy about Nina's assisted choice of location for making a sharp force wound.
Smooth sailing up into the heart. Now you're ready to get some killing on. Just jam it on in there. Go on, she prompted. Shove it in.
Shove it in? Kill? Nina couldn't hardly even see Bryce through all the water in her eyes, let alone stab her. And she couldn't hardly move either. Her hands, her body, this whole experience belonged to some other girl, in some other cheap motel, in some other hell besides Las Vegas. And all the while, Bryce kept coaching.
What's the matter? Stab me! You wanted me dead, so do it!
Shivering, quaking, crying.
Kill me!
Trembling, quavering, sobbing.
Kill me!
Nina let loose with a bonsai yell and a full force lunge that Bryce put the dodge on by slipping to one side and landing a roundhouse to Nina's head. The knife dropped from Nina's hands to the floor, and she collapsed on the dirty carpet next to it. To the pile of Nina below.
You cunt! Jesus Christ, you were going to cut me! You were really going to cut me!
Bryce reached down, picked up the blade, felt the dull tip with her finger, then tossed it onto the nightstand.
I'll give you an E for effort. You've got balls.
Sort of.
This Paris fucker doesn't deserve you. Of course he's not going to get you. See, killing isn't something you can do half-assed. It's serious business. It's my job. And now, it's time to go to work.
Nina barely raised up her head. The inevitable got asked.
What are you going to do?
Sitting comfortable, smiling slightly.
There was a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad...
Out of Bryce's pocket, onto the arm of the chair, came a pack of Camel Wides. No filters.
She was horrid. Tell me something, Bryce asked. You like music?
If their lives had been a movie, Paris and Willia would have been basking in the afterglow of lovemaking, smoking cigarettes and looking beautiful, despite the sweaty minutes of passion. But life wasn't a movie. It was real. Paris was drinking out of the one can of Diet Coke Willia had left. Willia was wiping between her legs with a towel stolen from a Union Plaza housekeeping cart. And both were wallowing in the secret shame that comes free of charge with sexing strangers, like the complimentary stench included in a sack of dead fish. So after, Willia tossed away the towel. It landed half on a chair and dripped down to the floor, where it would stay for a good long time.
You get this tape to this guy Brunson, then what?
Take the money and run.
Where to?
Florida, the Keys. That's what I'm thinking.
With her?
Paris didn't answer that, so Willie asked again.
With her?
She still got no answer for her asking. She drank up what was left of the gone warm Diet Coke, looked down into the can. Nothing but nothing was in there.
I've never been anywhere, Willia said. Not really. Won a trip to Milwaukee once. got sick, couldn't go. Even if I had gone to Milwaukee, I never would have been anywhere. I'm tired of being here, Paris. She was matter-of-fact about it, the tiredness that was a constant in her life. I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of prancing around half-naked for a bunch of drunks, marking time, waiting for their luck to change. I'm just tired. And mostly... Paris finished dressing, and when he drifted for the door. You don't have to tell me yes or no, Willia went on, making Paris stop and hover just this side of stepping from her life. I know you don't love me. And you know I don't care. I just figured, like I started to say, mostly I'm just tired of being alone. He'd started things with Nina, Paris thought. He'd started things with her, and he should follow through with her. He should. Willia's rack just about shouted at him. Paris said, half an hour. Get the tape, get the money. It'll take half an hour. Have your shit packed. Willia was already putting her shit in a bag before Paris was out the door. Omar folded up his cell phone and jammed it back in his pocket. Still no answer, he said. Well, where the fuck Damon at? Kenny asked, all indignant, staring through the Lexus windshield across the parking lot at the motel room door Bryce had long since disappeared through. How long she been in there? A couple hours, a few. So what do we do? Don't know. I say we kill her. Kenny spat out the window. That's what Damon had told us. He said if she didn't get the job done. Well, motherfucker, look what time it is. Kenny pointed outside. It's dark. That's what time it is. It sure the fuck wasn't dark when we started. Now, I say that ain't getting the job done. Shit, was all Omar responded with. Man, since we got this gig, you been the one always logicalizing and shit, 'cause you think I ain't nothing but a dumbass nigga. I don't think you're no dumbass, Omar lied. Well, I'ma drop some science on your ass. Every time shit starts getting wild, Damon brings the bitch in. Every motherfucking time. Now we put a cap in her, in this Paris motherfucker, and we get Damon's shit for him. Who you think he gonna dial up next time there's drama? We get the call. Motherfucking right. We ain't errand boys no more. We serious hitters. Shit. And I tell you who should be number three on our get whack lists, right behind crazy bitch and stealing drugs, motherfucker. Kenny looked at Omar sharp, hard, and straight for real. Damon. One more time, Omar got with, shit, then added, fuck. You and me, bro, ain't no reason. We can't be going for hours. You talking crazy. I'm talking about where it at now. And where it at now is you and me breaking off a piece for our own selves. Damon ain't nothing but soft anyway. Ain't know how his shit should have got stolen in the first place. Letting his fucked up cuz deal. That ain't nothing but asking for trouble. In the short span of seconds, Omar got down to more hard thinking than he had before in his entire 20 years. His mind was a hot car that raced him down a 2-lane fantasy blacktop of money, power, and the females who came around when the two were mixed. Omar liked where his mind was taking him. Omar made the easy choice to get himself there for real. It was time, high time, for Damon to take a fall. Maybe Kenny wasn't such a dumbass nigger after all.
Omar was about to say. Let's do it.
He was about to say that when a beat-up gremlin pulled into the Shady Tree Inn parking lot. Omar saw the car. Omar.
Shit.
He watched Paris get out of the car and go into his motel room.
There's that. Don't gotta be.
Bryce is gonna tap him.
Kenny shrugged. Let her. She come out. We tap her and take the drugs. We play it right. Damon ain't even gonna be round long enough to be asking questions.
Omar sat. Did more of that hard thinking. Kenny did some prompting.
Why you scared of the bitch?
I'm not.
We ain't never gonna get nowhere with you going around scared of bitches all the time.
Omar took another ride in his mind car, which was picking up speed, moving faster by the second. The soundtrack on the stereo, "You ain't scared of no bitch." A couple of seconds of that, and Omar said what previously he was thinking.
Aight. Let's do it.
Simultaneously, both men got out of the Lexus. They started after Paris, for his motel room. Kenny sidetracked over to the gremlin.
Look at this shit, huh? You believe this shit?
Kenny opened the passenger door. What are you doing?
We got time. Bryce ain't gonna be killing him in no hurry. How many times you get to sit in shit like this?
Kenny eased himself in. Yeah, how many times, Omar thought, and got in too, putting himself behind the wheel. Kenny.
Now this shit be tore up. Motherfucker better off dead than getting spotted in shit like this.
I don't know, bro. When we move up, I might make this my ride, you know?
Oh, shit.
Kenny busted up.
Don't even play that shit.
For real, I'd be rolling on a serious DL. And you peep all that space up and back there, a brother could freak himself all kinds of bitches. Know what I'm saying? Kenny did more busting up, all ignorant Negro style. Feet stomping, gut grabbing, into hand.
Oh, damn!
In no you didn't disbelief at what Omar, usually serious Omar, had just said. Then the two slapped hands, grabbed fingers, and pulled at them until they snapped. Generally, it was a coonish good time to be had by all. Unexpectedly, in the middle of the festivities, Omar's head split open. Ripe melons dropped from a train trestle should splatter as much. Just as suddenly, Omar became aware of nothing, and would remain that way for the rest of forever. Kenny took a 98.6-degree facial of internal skull matter.
Oh, shit,
he started to say. Started to, but did not finish, because of a bullet that entered his throat. Not too far off, as it turned out, by coincidence, from where he'd previously taken a bullet to the throat years ago. Following that, a second bullet, like with Omar, very severely blew open his head. And then Kenny, again as with Omar, shared an awareness of non-existence. Jay came running up to the gremlin, Paris's gremlin, with the freshly dead black guy behind the steering wheel, a black guy who was not Paris.
Fuck!
Jay screamed, not so much caring that he'd just killed the wrong guy, and an extra one to boot, but more upset that he'd missed the right one.
Fucking shit!
Even though he'd only used three bullets, Jay ejected the clip from his gun and inserted a fresh, extended clip of Teflon-coated, armor-piercing, hollow-point bullets into the Sig Sauer P226, modified with a laser sight, silenced flash suppressor, grip sleeve, extended slide release, and the extended magazines that carried the bullets that had emptied the heads of Kenny and Omar of all thought, and, if Jay had his way, would do at least that much
for Paris.
You're dead, you son of a bitch!
Jay worked the slide on the Sig Sauer, chambering around.
I swear to you, Marcus, this time he's dead.
Gail finished the walk from Fremont to her apartment building on Sahara. She'd sold her house and was saving her money to get the hell out of Vegas. She'd had her fill of it, thank you very much, and move herself to Maui quick as possible, in good time. Today she was feeling extra energized, extra self-strong. As she made her way around the man-made algae-filled pond to her apartment, she saw her neighbor, whom she'd never been particularly neighborly with, standing around outside. It was sort of late to be standing around outside. Gail asked her neighbor,
"What are you doing standing around?"
"Waiting."
"For?"
"Met a guy."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah, met a guy, and he's going to take me out of here. Going to Florida, the Keys. He's got money."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah. Well, he doesn't got money, but he's going to get it. He's going to get some money, then we're going to go to Florida, the Keys. We're going to live like the Tsar and Tsarina. So I'm just waiting for him. Waiting for my guy."
Gail didn't have the heart to come straight out and tell her neighbor to get comfortable. If she was waiting on a man, she'd be waiting a good long time. Instead,
"Why don't you come on inside for a sec? Have a little coffee. You and me can talk about things."
"Can't. Don't want to miss my man."
"Fuck it," Gail thought. "The girl'll learn. She had." Gail went into her apartment, counted out her tips, and put the money in her Get Me to Maui jar. Paris fumbled open the door to the room, stumbled in the dark over to the nightstand, calling out Nina's name a couple of times along the way. He turned on the light. It took a second, a few seconds, for Paris to figure some things out. Nina was sprawled on the bed. She was sleeping. Paris was sure she must have been sleeping. But if Nina was sleeping, why were her eyes wide open, hazed over, and staring so blankly at something just beyond the ceiling? If Nina was sleeping, why did she look all beaten up and burned and dead? What it took Paris those couple of seconds to figure out was Nina looked as she did because she was beaten and burned. Nina was dead. The unreal coalesced into the real. Paris as much gasped as said,
"Nina!"
He was about to gasp it again, when the door imploded before Jay's floor-shimed foot, Terminator style. He bum-rushed the room.
"You sick son of a bitch!"
Paris collapsed to the floor, ducking splintered wood and driven down by fear.
"You little animal!"
The laser sight's red dot floated up Paris. His throat, mouth, eye, forehead. Paris jammed himself up into a corner.
"Oh, God!"
A bug trying to put the dodge on a can of Raid.
"You don't feel, you don't care, you don't... Please, please!"
Soft.
"You don't even know what love is."
Hard.
"All you know is how to hurt and kill and ruin. Not anymore."
The red dot fixed, bullseye steady.
"It's time to die."
Paris screaming for his life.
"I didn't do anything."
"Didn't do?
You killed Marcus."
"I didn't kill."
"You murdered." "Jesus Christ, man, I didn't kill anybody. I'm the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy."
Shaking, wailing.
"You killed her for nothing."
The crazy, thrashing world Jay had been trying to ride for the last half day slowed up some.
"Her."
Her, Nina, stretched out dead and blistered, same as Marcus.
Jay's Sig Sauer lowered. Paris's head dropped down, crash landing in his hands, yowling.
You didn't have to kill her. Jesus, you didn't have to... I didn't kill her. Fuck you.
The words on fire.
I swear I didn't kill her. You killed her. You killed Buddy. Who?
Long pause. Paris's jukin' and jivin' world calmed up some, too.
Buddy, you killed...
From Jay, Paris got nothing but a blank stare.
You didn't? But if you...
Fear hopped in the back seat and let logic do the driving, as Paris tried to suss a few things out.
Something messed up's going on here. I didn't kill her. Something real messed up. Never touched her. Sure. Sure you didn't. There's something else. Some other...
Jay did some thinking, too. Jay came up with an idea.
There is some other... There is? It's so obvious.
What?
If I didn't kill her...
Yeah?
If I didn't kill her...
Go on.
Then you did. You goddamn psycho.
Jay's gun jerked up. Paris screamed.
No!
His hand shot in front of him, useless against a bullet. The gun's black eye got ready to wink Paris out of existence.
Hey, dumbass!
Jay looked toward the new voice. A blonde, jacked-up face and sporting a .38.
He didn't smoke your friend.
Her torn lip smiled.
I did.
A processing delay, short but too long. Jay swung his SS around. Bryce had him beat. Had him beat bad. Mini explosions, 3, 4 of them. Lead punching flesh, cracking bone, thud thud hard, jerking Jay's body with each hit. Fountains of blood. Splash patterns swirled and splattered on the walls, the floor, the ceiling. The fresh cordite smell canceled out the aroma of Nina's molten flesh. An ugly thwap. Jay's way-dead body, head smacking the ground, and head smacking it hard. Quiet now. Half the people in the room were too dead to make a sound. One was too shocked. For the fourth, it was just another day at the office. Bryce went to the dead Jay, picked up his Sig Sauer, looked it over. Looked over its silenced flash suppressor, grip sleeve, extended slide release, and extended magazines.
What the hell is this supposed to be?
She asked at his practically smoking corpse before pocketing the SS. Paris fought off body quivers, started to stand.
Thank you. You saved my...
A flash of nickel plating cut him off. Paris took Bryce's gun in the face. That was quick followed by a mouthful of busted tooth chips. That was followed by a mouthful of gushing blood. Paris sank back down to his reserve spot on the floor. Bryce, no nonsense.
Where is it?
What? Bryce's Timberlands. Paris's gut. Bryce's Timberlands, Paris's head. More busted teeth. More blood.
I am way too tired to fuck around.
Another kick punctuated that for her.
Just tell me where it is.
I don't... A kick. A kick. A kick to the ribs. Stomp to the head. Bryce.
I could care less if I find Damon's shit or not.
Stomp, kick, stomp, stomp.
All I have to do is get you dead. That's plenty fine by me.
Boot to the rib. Paris flipped. Boot to the head. One eye lost vision. His face cracked, swelled. The violence kept coming. Instinct carried Paris for the bed. He struggled up against the nightstand, his head lolled, and his last good eye looked at Nina.
Yeah, say goodbye to your little friend.
Bryce taunting now, winding herself up for the kill.
Real sweet.
Paris's head sloshed with thoughts. Nina. Should have been there for. Should have been there for Nina. Could have gotten her away from all this. Could have been safe and free and clear. Could have. Should have. His hand, wet with blood and sweat, slipped on the nightstand. The lamp got shoved over. Light shot around the room at odd, sharp angles.
She was a piece of ass, boy, I'll tell you that. You know what the last word out of her mouth was? Paris, you shit. Paris, she said.
She'd said Paris. Nina. Help me, Nina, Paris prayed to the dead. A prayer begging of forgiveness and redemption. He called out from his heart for absolution of prior misdeeds and shielding and protection from current harm. He called out to be saved. Same call Paris had been making most of his life. Help me, he cried. Just this time. Just this one last time.
Hey, bad boy, do me a favor.
The gun hammer clicked. Something on the nightstand glinted right before Paris's eye.
When you see your girl, give one for me.
Grab, flick, turn. Wild scream. Across the room in a frenzied tear, Paris against Bryce, Bryce against the wall. So close their breath mingled. She smelled good. She was soft to the touch. Not hard and icy like Paris would have thought. Soft. Bryce got with a little smile. She leaned forward as if to touch lips with Paris. He stepped back. She looked down. She saw the hole, the knife. Nina's knife in Paris's hand had opened in her left side. She saw the blood that gurgled out. Bryce's eyes rolled back and she slid to the floor, not dead, not even dying, just cut wide open. Paris took the gun from her hand. She didn't much have the strength to stop him. He didn't much know what to do with it. He just kept holding it. Bryce said,
"Whoa."
Then she said,
"That hurt."
She stuck a finger in the wound, and it disappeared to the third knuckle.
"Guess this means you're not going to give me the stuff, huh?"
Paris was fast over to the dresser. He ripped open the drawer, grabbed up the DAT player.
"You want it? Take it."
He threw it down into Bryce's lap. She grimaced as it hit. The player sank in blood.
"Take it! I'm sorry that shit ever got into my life."
Bryce fished out the player, looked it over.
"What the hell is this?"
It slipped from her fingers back into her lap.
"It's the tape. It's the last of Ian Germain. It's what you've been chasing me for. It's what you killed all these people for, you lousy..."
Ian Germain? Bryce, puzzled. "The guy who died in the pile of shit? What do I want with this?"
The tape.
"I want Damon's drugs."
"Drugs?"
It was two people doing a verbal jig, trying to put together what in the hell the other was talking about. Bryce did a quick read of Paris's face. There was truth in his ignorance. She said,
"You really don't know about..."
"There are no drugs!" An odd sort of lazy, dopey breath wiggled its way out of Bryce. Call it a laugh.
"Oh, man."
It's days like these that make you want to quit the business.
You don't want the tape?
Ian Germain? Who the hell listens to that crap?
If it was Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Jesus Christ. All this for nothing?
Paris stared down at Bryce, and Bryce stared back up at Paris. And for a good bit, neither had anything much to say. Moments faded, one into another, into the next. Eventually, Paris made a decision that involved reaching down slowly and picking up the DAT player from the puddle of blood in Bryce's lap. There was nothing he could do about the things that had passed. The dead would never again be anything more than that. And in time, in a great deal of time, Nina and all of this would be gotten over. But there was still a chance to salvage a future. The tape that could still be sold. The money that could still be spent. Willia and the keys, they could still be had. A life, an easy, carefree life of sunshine and companionship with a beautiful girl could still be lived. And after the life he'd endured the last 2 days, didn't his next one deserve to be better? And it would be. It was there for him, just outside the door. All he had to do was simply walk from the room and...
Where? Bryce managed to ask. Where are you going?
Somewhere. Anywhere.
Anywhere I can forget.
This shit is over.
It's not over.
Paris turned back to the woman, but I'm telling you, written all over his face.
You got the wrong guy. I don't have your drugs. It's not over.
Right or wrong, I don't hunt someone across 2 states just to let him walk.
Someplace, somewhere, someone took a stroll on Paris's grave.
And if you think you can gut me and just fade away, you're dead wrong. This is the way it works. You gotta finish things up.
What? I didn't...
Paris struggled with the basics of communication, wrestled with it, trying to squeeze out words that made sense. All that came to him were more of the same he'd used before, but this time, they were spoken in a frantic plea.
I'm not the one! I didn't steal the drugs!
Doesn't matter.
Bryce was as calm as Paris was animated.
It's my job. And I always do my job. Makes no difference how things started. It's the way things ended up.
Shit.
A cough, a spurt of blood from her side.
Shit like this just happens.
Shit like this? Murder, she was talking about. She was talking about murder.
Please, I don't want to... Hey, I'm trying to give you some square advice, Jackson. Do it. If you don't, one day I'm going to heal up. One day I'm going to find you. You know I will. One day I'm going to find you, and one day, if you don't do me, I'll do you.
Murder.
I can't.
Got to, my man. Have to.
Murder. To snuff out a life, even hers, even this thing down below him, monster that she was. How could he? How could he possibly? And yet, Paris looked to Nina, lifeless, on the bed. He looked at Jay, who was of equal deadness. He thought of Buddy. Dead. Ian. Dead. The guy Jay bust through the door yammering about, saying that Paris had killed. He, whoever he was dead too. And were there any others? Any more bodies stretched out between L.A. and L.V.? Probably. Probably. And how come they got that way? Because first off, Buddy wanted to steal some drugs for cash to impress Alf,
and Paris wanted to rip off a tape for cash to impress his ex. Because whoever owned the drugs wanted to get even, and whoever had claimed the tape needed to get it back. And at the end of the day, nobody got the money, or the drugs, or the tape, or the girl, or anything, except for killed. Everything else, the getting of things in life, was hard. Very, very difficult. Dying, making people dead. That took no effort at all. No more effort than the little bit of lazy bother needed to slide back the trigger of a gun. There was, real suddenly, no sensation to the weapon in Paris's hand. It seemed like hair and fingernails, like flesh, quite naturally, quite comfortably, just another part of him.
First time's the tough one.
From below him, spindled awkwardly in the crotch of the floor and the wall, Bryce gave Paris a walkthrough.
But not hard like you'd think. All it really takes is a good try.
Tell you this, a spoonful of music helps the medicine go down.
Bryce kept her smile going. There wasn't a fucked up second of this fucked up event she wasn't completely digging. She asked,
"Like music, Paris? Me? I'm a Bachman-Turner Overdrive girl myself."
The end. You've been listening to Everybody Smokes in Hell by John Ridley, narrated by Peter Francis James.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.